So here we are, in the middle of January, at a time when I'd really like to be discussing wintertime topics. To be sure, certain calendar markers are there. Basketball is starting in our public schools. The NCAA National Championship football game was this week, and school visits for the bird calendar are happening. More on that in just a bit. So the calendar rolls along with normal annual things happening, when and how they should, but it sure doesn't feel like winter, does it? My Arctic Cat Panther Deluxe, a machine I've had for nearly a decade and would like to be driving to work, sits in front of my house, nothing more than a 500-pound piece of yard art, and an irritation to my wife, whereas she has to drive around it. Caribou season is open, and I can't help but feel that the caribou on the Nishigak Peninsula are probably standing at the edges of the rivers that form the northern boundary for the hunt area, sticking their tongues out at us because no one can get down to hunt them. Yes, the calendar says it's winter, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Let me state right now that I'm not intending for this episode to be a bummer, what with all the talk of how winter doesn't feel like winter. However, because our winter weather conditions have been so far off the norm, it has led to some oddball things happening around our area and the state, and I thought I'd hit on a couple of those today. First of all, my understanding is that a lot of our ills, with regards to no winter this year, can be linked to the fact that it's an El Nino year, and not just any El Nino either. It's a much stronger than normal El Nino. In fact, according to climatologist Rick Toman of the National Weather Service, it's one of the strongest of the past 65 years and carries a pretty good likelihood of increasing in strength as 2016 unfolds. El Nino is a term given to an event when the sea surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific Ocean are higher than normal, which can have a big impact on weather conditions around the globe. In a general sense for the Bristol Bay region, that means much warmer winter temperatures, strong winds, more than normal cloud cover, and a lot of precipitation, though the extent can vary depending on the strength of the El Nino. The flip side to the El Nino thing is a condition labeled La Nina, which describes cooler than normal temperatures for those same surface equatorial Pacific waters. La Nina often brings with it colder than normal weather, and according to Toman, things right now seem to point in the direction of La Nina conditions next fall and winter. Or, put another way, maybe we get a crack at a real winter again. The first oddity I'd like to mention today has to do with seabirds. A few weeks back, Animal Control Officer Dan Boyd of Dillingham called me to report that someone had brought in what appeared to be a seabird. He was able to email me a photo, and the photo revealed what he had on his hands was a common murre, which also happens to be a very common seabird to parts of Togiak Refuge during the summer. Common murres are medium-sized, black-and-white seabirds that bear something of a resemblance to penguins when standing on land. Unlike penguins, though, they are native to Alaska and they can fly. When I say medium-sized, think 15 to 16 inches long and a couple of pounds in weight. They have a long, sharp, spear-like bill that's adapted well to catching fish, which make up a big portion of their diet. They nest on shore around rocky cliffs found on the refuge but spend winters out at sea, which made the discovery of one inland at this time of year such a curious thing. Well, it turns out that that murre was not alone. I have heard reports of a few others, either dead or in very poor shape, that have been found around Dillingham, Alecknagik, and Togiak. And it's far, far worse for murres beyond the Bristol Bay region. Many of you have probably already heard that thousands and thousands of common murres have been washing up along the shores of Prince William Sound. Most of those have been dead, but the ones that aren't have been in very poor physical condition. The last number I saw was something along the lines of 8,000 dead so far, but that's been a couple of days ago, so it could be more. Over 100 dead ones have been examined by laboratories, and there have been no evidence of disease or parasites. They seem to be dying of malnutrition. They're not getting enough to eat. While nothing is known for sure yet, it's thought that the fish murres feed on, herring, capelin, juvenile pollock, aren't where they should be. It's possible that El Nino has caused warmer surface temperatures where those fish should be found. These prey fish species are temperature sensitive and they live in a narrow band of cooler water, normally. If that temperature gets too high, they up and leave. and MERS are left without the food that they depend on. Keep in mind that MERS have a high rate of metabolism and need to eat as much as 30% of their body mass each day, so it doesn't take much of a decline to their food sources to have a huge impact on their health. Again, nothing's known for sure yet except a whole lot of MERS are dead or dying. If it is related to El Niño and a lack of food, it could be bad news for MERS moving forward because El Niño is expected to be with us through the early parts of this year and possibly even get worse. Another winter weather, lack thereof oddity that I'd like to pass along is something that was witnessed by Togiak Refuge supervisory biologist Pat Walsh. Earlier this week, Pat was conducting aerial wolf surveys. He took photos of a very open, not froze over at all, Togiak Lake, something of a January anomaly in and of itself. But stranger still is that Pat saw a mature brown bear near the shore feeding on a moose kill. Lest you be overcome with a healthy dose of skepticism, I'd encourage you to go to the Togiak Refuge Facebook page. I posted photos there of the bear earlier this week. Actually, I'd encourage you to go to our Facebook page and click like anyway, but that's a separate matter. Pat said the moose kill looked fresh, and while there were wolves in the area, he thinks that maybe the bear did the deed itself, bringing down a moose to have something to feed on. So how strange is that? It's mid-January, we have open water, and a brown bear is out and hunting. And who's to say it's the only one? No, it's not been a typical winter at all, though I'd like to believe that there's still time for that to change. The last thing I'd like to mention today is a staple of the winter months and is mostly on time, probably because it's not tied to the weather. I'm talking about the Alaska Migratory Bird Calendar Contest. Visits to schools began this week and will continue for the next several weeks. By the time you hear this episode, I'll be down to the last few classroom visits at Dillingham Elementary and be looking to maybe weasel into some middle school, high school classes next week or possibly the week following. But it's not just the Terry Fuller Bird Calendar Dog and Pony Show. Refuge manager Susanna Henry helped bail me out the other day when I mistakenly double-booked a time slot. And staff members John Diasek, Pete Abraham, and John Mark also have a big hand in getting calendar information out to area students. John Diasek will be in Koliganek and New Stew next week, while I'll try knocking down the rest of Dillingham. The two of us will visit with Manicotic shortly after that, and I'll also be visiting with Aleknagik. While we're doing that, John Mark will be visiting with classes in Quinnahock. During the last week of January, one of us will be traveling to Togiak to assist Pete with their school. Also, some schools are tackling the calendar on their own, with materials provided by Togiak Refuge, including Platinum, Good News Bay, and Twin Hills. I'd like to give a shout-out to Megan Redman in Twin Hills and Sherry Carmichael in Good News Bay for all that they've done to support the calendar through the years, often promoting it within their schools when Refuge staff hasn't been able to make it to their schools to visit. This year's calendar theme is Working Together to Save Migratory Birds. The idea behind the theme is that there are so many different people groups who have a stake or an interest in migratory birds and their management, and it takes all of us working together to ensure that solid management decisions are made for both the bird populations we seek to protect and the interest of those various user groups. The due date for entries this year is Friday, February 12th. If for some reason you have a child you think would like to participate, but they haven't been afforded the opportunity to hear our spiel, you can contact me at the Refuge office to find out more and to get the necessary paperwork. My direct line is 842-8419. I repeat, 842-8419. Also, here in the near future, I'll try to get the paperwork added to our Facebook page. Yet another reason to try and coax you into coming to our page and having a look. And one last calendar-related note. Due to a shipping issue between the regional office in Anchorage and the printer of the calendars, calendar distribution is behind schedule. The Togiak Refuge office is still awaiting a portion of the calendars that were allotted to us, and when we have them, they will be made available to the schools and the communities. I am hopeful calendars will be mailed out or delivered within the next week or so. In the meantime, think happy thoughts for a nice, cold, snowy winter. It's not too late, even if it is a late start. There is still a lot of calendar left to go, and snow machine, snowshoe, ski, or whatever other winter activity you prefer, if only the weather will cooperate. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.